taught by God. Micah chapter 4 and verse 2, Micah says, prophesying about the time of the new covenant, and many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. I'm sure the people in Micah's day thought nothing more of this than that he was telling of a time when people were going to come to Jerusalem to the temple. But he's actually prophesying about the church. He's prophesying about an age that is to come. And we're living in that age. We're living in the time when many nations are saying, let's go up to the mountain of the Lord. Ron mentioned his missionary work in Brazil, and of course we've supported missionary work in the Ukraine and in Tanzania and in various different places throughout the world. And there's mission work going on all over the world. Many nations are coming and saying, let's go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. And what about us? Are we being taught by God? Are we allowing Him to teach us His ways? Or are we stubbornly holding on to our own ways? Are we willing to walk in His paths? I'm going to get in trouble tonight because I'm going to look up there at that clock and think, boy, I've got a lot of time left. Everybody just get up and leave. Is your necklace a little too tight for you? You know, you can get those little necklace extenders, Dolores, and then they won't choke you so much. Although those chokers are popular nowadays. So, but God is willing to teach us if we're willing to learn. In Psalm 25, verses 3 through 12, this part of this psalm has been turned into a song, which seems kind of ironic considering that's what it was originally. But since we didn't have the music for that song originally, someone wrote some music for it to put that to a tune. But here the psalmist says, yea, let none that wait on Thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me Thy ways, O Lord. Teach me Thy paths. Lead me in Thy truth and teach me, for Thou art the God of my salvation. On Thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, Thy tender mercies and Thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to Thy mercy, remember Thou me for Thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will He teach sinners in the way. The meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. For Thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall He teach in the way that he shall choose. So again and again in this passage, the psalmist refers to the Lord teaching. And sometimes I think we forget that as God's people, He is still teaching us. Or I should say, He's actively trying to teach us. Whether we're learning or not is up to us. But He spends His time trying to teach us to walk in His path. Sometimes we think that because we're out of the patriarchal age where God spoke directly to the fathers, and we're out of the Mosaical age where God spoke to the people through the prophets, and we're out of the miraculous age of the New Testament where God used the apostles and inspired them to speak these things directly to the people and spoke directly to the apostles. Sometimes I think we think that God's done teaching us. that he's not working in this world anymore. We say, well, you know, the miraculous age is past. Well, that may be. But that doesn't mean that God's done. Just because he's not using miraculous ways to teach us doesn't mean he's not still teaching us. We want to look quickly at 10 ways that God teaches us. You think we can do that quickly? Probably not. That's okay. Y'all don't need to watch that game tonight anyway. Y'all know who's going to win, whether you like it or not. God teaches us 10 different ways, or in 10 different circumstances throughout our lives. First of all, God teaches us in successes that we have. When God allows us to succeed in an area, he's teaching us that that's a good area that we need to repeat that activity in. When we have success at studying with someone and they're converted to the church, God's trying to teach us. Do that again. Go out and find another person to study with, to teach them. Throughout the New Testament, God allowed people to have success when they were doing what he wanted them to do. Throughout the Old Testament, God allowed success for his people when they were doing the right things. When they were doing the wrong things, he punished them. But he does teach us in our successes that we have. And secondly, we see that God teaches us in our failures. You know, sometimes we don't think about failures as being something that's very teachable. But in actuality, a lot of times we learn even more in our failures than we did in our successes. When we're successful, we do learn, oh, that's a good thing to do. But we may not learn how better to do it. But when we try something and we fail at it, we can learn one of two things. Sometimes God is trying to teach us through our failures that that's not the way I want you to go. And you need to stop that. And sometimes we're very stubborn and we don't listen and we continue to go down that path. Sometimes, however, God is trying to teach us, well, even though you're doing the right thing, you're not doing it the right way, so you need to adjust the way you're doing it. So we need to learn from those things. In Luke chapter 22, in verses 31 through 34, Peter learned from his failure. He was very proud and he was very confident, even to the point of arrogance, when Jesus said to him, Simon, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. And Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. See, Peter was confident. But you know what the proverb says? Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. Failure comes when we're standing on our own instead of standing on the promises, as the song that we sang earlier says. Now it says in that song, standing on the promises, I cannot fail. And that's true. But a lot of times we're trying to stand on our own. And when we try to stand on our own, we need to realize how slippery our footing really is. How weak our strength that we're claiming to stand on really is. Jesus warned Peter, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that you know me. Three times you're going to deny you even know me before this day is out. And so Jesus, of course, was right in that, and Peter did that. But Peter learned something in his failure. He learned some humility. And Peter was a changed man. That doesn't mean that he became perfect as a result of that, but he moved closer to perfection as a result of learning that lesson that he learned in that failure. Success is a much more pleasant teacher than failure, but failure is an effective teacher nonetheless. And God often uses those failures that we have as ways of teaching us. Then we see that God teaches us in everyday experiences. You know, sometimes people in the religious world especially are waiting for some miraculous event for God to show them something. And I've studied with a number of people who, despite the very clear teaching of Scripture that I had shared with them, were still waiting. Well, if God will send me a sign, then I'll know whether that's right or not. Even though God was printing it in black and white right in front of them. They couldn't read that sign. You know, they needed some sort of miraculous event. The people in the first century were no different. What did the Pharisees always ask Jesus? Show us a sign. Prove to us you're the Son of God. What miracle do you do to show us that you are who you say you are? It's what they always wanted. And yet Jesus continued to try to teach them by everyday experiences. In Matthew chapter 13, 3 and following, we have the parable of the sower. We have several other times throughout the Gospels, the parables that Jesus told. Time and again, Jesus used the everyday experiences of people to try to teach them. And the sight of a farmer out there sowing the seed in his field, that was a common experience for those people, just as it would be for us today if we were driving through the fields out in the heartland of America. But they were used to that. They knew that. And so he tried to use that to teach them. They didn't get it. They heard it. They saw it. But they just didn't get that there was any deeper meaning there than a guy going out there planting some seed. In fact, even the disciples said, well, explain it to us, Lord. And so he said, okay, well, here's what it means. And we might say, well, those guys were dense. But you know, if he hadn't explained it for them, and if we hadn't read, well, this is the seed is the word of God and the field of the world, and you know, this is what... If we hadn't read that, would we know what it was? Probably not. Every day there are experiences in our lives where God is trying to teach us something. Just a common everyday experience. Somebody mentioned, when a penny's laying down there on the ground, I stop and I pick that penny up, and I look on the front of that penny and it says, in God we trust. You know, just the pennies laying on the ground. God's sending us messages all the time. You know, right there, trust in God. That's a good message. Are we picking up on it? You know, all these things that from day to day, we go through these common experiences. When we go past a cemetery, God reminds us, there's death in this world, but there's a world coming where there is no death. When we go to a wedding, when we go to the hospital, when we go, everywhere we go, there is a lesson to be learned there. Every activity that we engage in, there is a lesson to be learned there. When we stop at a stop sign, we're reminded that there are some things in our life we need to stop doing. When we see a policeman, we're reminded that we're supposed to obey those in authority over us. Constantly, God tries to reinforce those messages that He's given us. And we're not paying attention most of the time. We think, oh, well, that policeman says, well, I better stop speeding or I'll get a ticket. Well, yeah, he says that. But he says more than that. He says respect authority. He says submit to those who have the reign over you. So all of these things in everyday life, we need to understand that there are lessons there that we can learn. God put gravity here to teach us that it's not time for us to fly yet. There will come a day when we'll get to fly. It's not today. At least it hadn't been yet today. The gravity teaches us that every day. You know, we can't fly. But when Jesus comes back, we're going to rise to meet Him in the air. And we won't need an airplane to do it. All of these things, if we'll look at it through spiritual eyes instead of through our physical eyes, we can see the lessons that we need to learn. Then we see that God teaches us with pain. Just as children sometimes have to learn with pain, we too, as God's children, have to learn sometimes with pain. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. Paul talks about the fact that he had a little bit of a temptation to be somewhat arrogant because of some of the experiences that he had had. God had blessed him beyond what he deserved, just as he's blessed all of us beyond what we've deserved. And because of that, Paul was tempted perhaps to feel a little higher about himself than he should. Just before this section, Paul talks about a man who had been called up to the third heaven. And I think probably he was in a roundabout way talking about himself. But he wanted to point out that he wasn't supposed to think too highly of himself because of whatever blessings God had blessed him with. Because he says in verse 7, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." You realize, see, Paul wrote half of the New Testament. When you think about that, he could have very easily said, "Well, I'm special. God's revealed to me half of the New Testament." That's more than he revealed to anybody else. But he said, "Lest I be lifted up because of this, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me." One translation says to torment me. This thorn in the flesh pained him so that he would learn the lesson. And of course he asked God three times to take it away. And he was told, "My grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in your weakness." So he said, "Well, then I'm going to glory in my infirmities so that the power of Christ can dwell on me or rest on me." He said, "I'm going to learn something from this pain." And we can learn from the pain in this life. It's actually a wonderful thing that we have pain in this life. We talked about heaven a couple of weeks back. And, if we didn't have pain in this life, how could we appreciate going to heaven where there is no pain? If we had never experienced pain, then it wouldn't be any great blessing to get to go somewhere where there wasn't pain. Because we just said, "Well, that's the way it's always been. There never was pain. Never had any pain. So what?" But because of the fact that we experience pain in this world, oh, how much sweeter the joys of heaven where there is no pain are. So God teaches us with pain. He teaches us in struggles. 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 11. Here Paul talks about some of the struggles that he faced. Sometimes our struggles seem like they're more than we can bear. We need to understand we're not alone in that. Everyone has struggles that seem that way. Notice what he says. Verse number 8, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Paul says, "Brothers, I want to tell you what happened to us in Asia. It was so bad that it was beyond what we could. We weren't strong enough to handle it. We thought we were going to die." Now that's a struggle. When you're struggling to the point you think you're going to die, that's a struggle. Some of you maybe have been there. Some of us maybe haven't. But that is a struggle. And he says then, "But we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us." So he says, but God delivered us from that situation. He said, we thought we were going to die, but God delivered us struggles. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 8 and 9, he says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." He wants us to know that just because you're going through struggles in life, first of all, you're not alone. But secondly, you can come out of that on the other side and you can learn something from it. You know, it's the amazing thing about muscles. With the exception of the tongue, every muscle in your body requires one muscle to pull one way and one to pull the other way for it to work. Your tongue is the only one that wags all by itself. You know, all the rest of them, if I want to lift my arm this way, I've got a muscle that pulls it this way. If I want to push it, muscles don't push, they only pull. So I've got to have another muscle. They have to work against each other. And if I want to strengthen those muscles, then I'm going to have to work with something to make them stronger. I'm going to have to use some weight, or I'm going to have to walk, or I'm going to have to, you know, do something like a push-up or a sit-up to work all those different muscles to be able to get them stronger. We get stronger as a result of struggles. You can't get stronger by laying on the couch watching TV. Now, they've got a new video game out, the Nintendo Wii. You get up off the couch and actually have to play and you actually have to move. That one might actually help some of the kids get in shape a little bit. But you can't just sit on the couch. You know, I guess you can get your thumb muscles stronger if you play video games. Their thumb muscles are real strong, but the rest of every other muscle in their body is just... We've got to work those muscles if we want them to get stronger. And doctors often will tell you, you know, go for a walk. I want you to do this. I want you to do this exercise. They'll give you those little long rubber bands, you know, and say, you know, do this exercise with it or that exercise with it to be stronger. But there has to be a struggle there. There has to be some resistance in order for strength to be attained. But we can learn in our struggles. God is trying to teach us through the struggles of life. All of the things about those struggles help us to be stronger in Christ. Then God teaches us by repetition. Have you ever had a situation? I have this happens occasionally. For maybe a verse in the Bible that you had never thought of, or some information that you had never heard before, maybe a new word or new idea, and you'd never heard it before, and then you hear it one day for the first time, and you think, wow, that's new. I've never heard that. That's something. And then you hear it again three or four times that week. Sometimes things are repeated to us to help them sink in. Sometimes even in the same sermon, the same verse is repeated just to help it sink in. But we do that sometimes. We have the same occurrence occurs over and over again so that we'll learn something from it. God uses repetition. There are several cases. In fact, at one time I preached a whole sermon. You can say that again about the things that God repeated word for word in the Bible. There are a lot of things like that, that God said it more than once. In fact, this verse, we have Micah chapter 4 and verse 2, but that same verse is repeated in another place in the Scriptures. Word for word, same verse. God thought it was important. God teaches by repetition. He teaches these lessons over and over again for us. Then we see that God teaches us when we ask honest questions. You know, the Pharisees were always asking Jesus questions. The Sadducees were always asking Jesus questions. And they never seemed to learn anything because they weren't asking Him questions honestly seeking an answer. They were asking Him questions trying to trap Him. They'd ask, "Where do you get this power?" So Jesus said, well, if they really want to know, then they're going to answer this question. The baptism of John, is it from heaven or from men? Of course, they come back, "Well, we can't tell you." He said, "Well, then I'm not going to tell you the answer to your question either. When you want to know bad enough that you'll actually figure out that easy question, then I'll tell you the answer to the hard question." But God teaches us that way too. When we'll ask honestly, when we'll seek the answers honestly, Jesus promises us, seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Ask and it shall be given to you. If we will honestly seek an answer, we'll find the answer. But sometimes we're not willing to honestly seek the answer. But we need to ask honest questions. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 34, the Ethiopian eunuch was reading a passage of Scripture that he didn't understand, and he had an honest heart. And he asked Philip, okay, who's this guy talking about? Is he talking about himself? Is he talking about somebody else? I don't know. And so Philip started with that same Scripture and taught him about Jesus. But that's all part of it. We've got to be willing to ask the right questions. And in order to ask the right questions, we first got to recognize we don't know it all. If I think I know it all, I'm never going to ask a question. Or I'm only going to ask trick questions like the Pharisees did to try to trick somebody into something. When we first realize that we don't know, then we need to try to figure out the answer to the things that we don't know and ask those questions honestly. But then we see that God teaches us through some of the least likely people. You ever had that happen to you? Where somebody that you thought, this person just... And then they taught you something. Jesus himself used the example of little children often. People, they're just children. Jesus said, you know what? Here's this little child. Matthew 18, verses 2 through 4. Unless you become like this little child, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Little child? That's right. So sometimes we miss the boat because we're not willing to learn from a certain person. You know, even the devil can teach us something. And the old saying, everybody is good for something, even if it's just to serve as a bad example. But there are a lot of people who can teach us things. And sometimes people that we least expect that we'd be able to learn anything from them. We think, well, there's nothing that person could teach us. But there is. But we need to be willing to open ourselves up to the possibility that somebody else may know something that we don't. And learn from them. Then we see one of the most obvious of all is that God teaches us with Scripture. He teaches us with a Scripture. You know, sometimes you may just be driving down the road, you may pass a church sign and there may be a Scripture on that sign. And it may be a denominational church. You pass by anything. But that Scripture, you know what? That's a good Scripture. Or maybe there's a verse up there and you say, well, what's that verse say? I don't know. I could go, and you go home, you remember that verse, you go and you look it up, and you read that, and you say, that's a good thing to learn. I didn't know what that verse said. Didn't recognize it up there. Sometimes we can learn things as a result of things like that. But certainly the Scriptures are the way that God teaches us the most clearly. But sometimes there may be a Scripture that's in the back of our mind that we've just about forgotten about. And in a certain situation, that Scripture will come back to our memory. Now, in the denominational world, a lot of times they say, well, the Holy Spirit told me such and such. The Holy Spirit didn't tell you. If you allow the Word of Christ to dwell in you richly, then that Word is there when you need it. And your mind can draw on it. And God can use that in you. But God can't use it in you if it's not in you. If you've never picked the Bible up and never read it, then God can't use anything in it for you. But if you study His Word, if you meditate on His Word day and night, as the psalmist says in Psalm 1, if you think about His Word, then when situations arise, you'll find, you know what? I remember a Scripture that applies to this situation. Well, we've got to do that. We've got to spend that time with the Scriptures. In John chapter 5, in verse number 39, Jesus says, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you may have eternal life. He said in verse 38 that the problem with the people he was talking to was the fact that they didn't have God's Word abiding in them. That's why they couldn't believe in Him, because they didn't have His Word abiding in them. And if we don't have His Word abiding in us, we're going to be in the same boat as the Pharisees. And then finally, we see that God teaches us in nature. You know, this is one of the things that ought to be so obvious to people when they look at the world. The psalmist said it in Psalm 19 and verse 1, the heavens declare the handiwork of God. The heavens declare His glory. It's there. It's just, you know, God wrote it. He couldn't have written it any bigger than when you go out at night and you look up at the constellations in the sky. And you realize that those are the same constellations that people looked up at 4,000 years ago. God wrote it in great big letters. Whoa, looky there. I'm God and you're not. Look what I can do and you can't. Can't even understand it. And it always amazes me that scientists of all people who study God's world in such detail are the ones who seem to be the least likely to want to believe it. As loudly as God is screaming at them through everything that He has created, hey, I'm here, there's a God up here that created all this, and they want to come up with every excuse in the world not to believe it. Romans 1 and verses 19 and 20 says that those people who refuse to accept what God has done and refuse to admit there's a God have no excuse. Now, nature can't teach us what God wants us to do to be saved. Nature doesn't teach us anything about what heaven's going to be like. Nature doesn't teach us about, you know, the Lord's Supper or the three in one of the Godhead. It doesn't teach us any of that. But it does teach us very clearly that there is a God. And if we don't handle that and we don't accept that, we're without excuse. So God teaches. And He teaches constantly in every situation. He teaches us in success and in failures, in just common everyday experiences, through pain and struggles, by repetition, and when we ask honest questions. He's there to teach us through some of the most unlikely sources, some of those people that we can't imagine they ever could teach something. You know, I think about Bruce sometimes. Bruce has been sick and wasn't able to be here with us the last few times. But I think about him sometimes. I think, you know, sometimes he comes up with some things. And, you know, here's a fellow, he never went to school, not one day in his life. He doesn't know how to add 4 plus 4. But sometimes his insights on life, and one of the things, well, I'd say, one of the most embarrassing situations in my life was as a result of something that happened with him that I should have known better, and yet I didn't. I was walking with him, and he was trying to hold my arm to help him up the steps up here, and I was, you know, trying to, you know, okay, Bruce, you know, let go of me. Don't be so. Holding on to me so tight and being so affectionate. You know, he's holding on and kind of hugging me, but trying to get up the steps. And I'm trying to get away. You know how Bruce is. He wants to hug everybody and kiss everybody and all these kinds of things. You know, but that love. And I was ashamed of it. You know, and it, you know, I'm a man. You're a man. Don't be holding on my arm. And I finally pushed him away just in time for him to trip over that little rough spot in the concrete out there and fall flat on his face. And he busted his chin up, and I Since that day, I've not been ashamed for him to hold my arm or hold my hand or whatever, you know. But it taught me something from that experience with him. And like I said, he'd never been to school a day in his life. He's never been taught to hate people and be mean to people. He just loves everybody. You know, sometimes the most unlikely sources can teach us so many things. And of course, God teaches us through the Scriptures and in nature all around us. If you're here tonight, perhaps you haven't been opening your mind up to the things God is trying to teach you. You know, God teaches us through the spiritual and the physical. But we need to learn from Him. Sometimes we think, well, somebody's going to have to tell me this. We need to open our minds up and open our eyes up and open our ears up and listen to the things that are going on around us and open our eyes to the things that are going on around us and learn some things. God didn't put us here in this world to have to be spoon-fed every bit of knowledge that we ever get. He expected us to be able to use the brain that He gave us to learn some things that He's tried to teach us. He set this world up in such a way that we can learn it. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, perhaps you need to learn some of the lessons that God's trying to teach you. If you have a need to respond to the invitation, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.